The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Freedom's Disciple on demand.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
So our free market topic, and one of the things I want to do is make free market economic topics easy and simple for you to understand. This week I want to talk to you about your economy, because if you've been following the news over the last 2 to 3 weeks, a lot of commentators must feel a lot very foolish. That's if they had any conscience, but a lot of them don't. You've seen a lot of great news over the last week. The news highlighted this week was Apple. Apple have announced that they're going to invest around $360 million into American infrastructure and their American infrastructure and R&D over the next 5 years. That is a lot of money. But that's just Apple. If you've been following the economic news, you've seen lots of companies giving, you know, $1,000 bonus to their employees. Some of them have raised their minimum wage up to $15 an hour. A lot of people have seen, you know, extra parental and maternal leave. A lot of people are seeing, you know, more productivity. It's been a lot of great economic news for you. Obviously, you know, a lot of people are focusing on the Dow and it's on record highs. There's a lot of good, positive economic news about America right now. But one of the things I think is missing from, and I'm going to say this, I hate using labels, but one of the things I think is important, and this is why I want to talk to you today about, is a lot of conservatives and libertarians who, you know, want to be about principles are missing something right now in some of the analysis I've seen. Should you be proud and be happy with these results? Absolutely. Is it satisfying? Does it give you some type of sense of pleasure when, you know, you can see all these commentators who are like, oh, trickle-down economics has never worked, and if you think this, you're a moron. And you know, when you give companies tax cuts, they don't pay their employees anymore. They keep it. It goes to their stockholders. You're an idiot if you think anything otherwise. Is it nice to see, you know, kind of have a bit of gloating? Sure, I get that. I totally get that. Look, I just because I don't go around insulting people doesn't mean I don't get frustrated with your media. A lot of your media sucks. Your commentators are horrific. I'm not defending them. I'm just like, I don't get any joy in gloating on them because I have such a low expectation. And that's probably the biggest insult I could actually give any of them. My expectations are so low for you that I don't even want to gloat when you're wrong, when it's proven you're wrong, because I don't expect anything otherwise. But there is something more that I think needs to be added to this conversation, and that's what I'm going to try and do today. Because economics and the principles of the free market, it's not about the outcomes. The outcomes are great when they work for you, promote them, advance them. But what's missing for me is the moral reasons and the principled reasons you do things. Not because they work, not because they give you economic impact, but because they are morally right. So let me give you an example, and I'd ask you just to be honest about your fellow Americans. This is not a liberal thing or a conservative thing or a left-right thing, just America in general. Close your eyes and ask yourself, which of the policies would they follow if you were given these results? America has this choice, binary choice. You can have an economy that, if you follow these principles, will average around 3% growth. These are actual countries and actual figures I'm giving you right now. From 1988 to today, which is 30 years. So you're going to get a 30-year set of policies. If you implement these, you will get around, on average, 3% growth. On average. You will have some spikes. You'll have several good positive spikes, you know, one up to nearly 10. But you'll also have some negative spikes. But on average, you'll grow 3% for the next 30 years. Sounds good, right? Or you have option 2, binary choice. You can have 7% on average growth for the next 28 years. This country only started, the data I can get only goes back to 1990. From 1990 to 2018, it averaged roughly 7% growth. Its worst year of growth was 3.5%. And it also, its best year, hit around 15% growth, not once, but twice. If you just make free market economics about the outcome, about the result, which do you think the American people are going to choose? Do you think they're going to choose 3% growth with some spikes, or do you think they're going to say, I want the 7% growth. I want the economy that your low was 3.5%. That's more than we were averaging for the 30 years. Of course I'm going for option B. Duh. It's a no-brainer, right? If you make free market economics about results, about outcomes, that's your choice. Do you know who those two countries are, by the way? Option one from 1988, the average of 3% growth, was America. Option B of roughly 7% growth from 1990 was China, or should I say China. If you make free market economics purely about money and about outcomes, what's going to stop you from going to the Chinese model? We have to, and when I say we, I shouldn't actually say we, I should say I, and hopefully you join me. And I don't mean politicians. Politicians will never talk about free market economics, because here's the spoiler alert. The reason politicians don't speak about free market economics in general is because for them to speak about free market economics, they need to say, you have the power, not them. And that's not something they're willing to embrace. They have to say, you have all the power, all the control, we have none. And that's not something they're willing to embrace. Likewise, the media. If you're looking for free market economics in DC or from the media, I'm sorry to tell you, spoiler alert, you're looking in the wrong place. I believe how we change these arguments, how we share these arguments, and how we make a difference in culture is by each of us sharing with other American citizens, with other people around the world, to empower them. For me, free market economics, it's about economics, it's about doing well, but it's also about the first word, free, freedom. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in China. I'm sure China is a wonderful place. I've met many Chinese people. I've never met a bad Chinese person that I can recall. Always nice, always humble. But I don't want to live in their country with their government. I don't want to live under the hybrid of a capitalist, socialist, hybrid society. I don't want to live in a world or in a country where government has the power, where the government can literally tell you how many children you can have. If we make economics about the results, what's going to stop someone, politician, rightfully or wrongly, coming and going, hey, look, we have this all wrong. What we need to do is follow China. Look at their results. And just bring those results to America. Can you imagine people saying, look, over the next 28 years, you're going to hit GDP growth of 15% twice? Who would say no to that? If you make it only about results. For me, America has never been about materialistic objects or outcomes. It has been about the principles of it. So what are the principles of the cause of what has helped this economic boom? The principle, the overriding principle, it's just one, actually, one little policy inside a giant tax plan. And that is reducing your corporation tax down. It's a reduction in corporation tax. That is pretty much all that has helped this boom. So why? What principle do we need to discuss? Well, we need to understand that the moral and the principled argument for that. It's not because they'll, you know, increase the minimum wage, or not because they'll give more benefits to their employees, not because they'll give bonuses, not because they'll invest in their economy. We need to talk about that. That's important. I'm not saying don't. That is critically important. But we also need to understand the moral and principled argument that we also need to make. Because right now, to a large chunk of Americans, because of the media, because of politicians talking, they see a tax cut as the government giving people money back. The amount of people, and I'm not going to make this about corporations, just on a side point, the amount of people I see in America get excited because they get a tax refund. Hey, I got money back from the government. The government gave me a check, a refund, and I get to keep it. And they get excited about that. But the terminology is all wrong. It's not that the government gave you money. It's that the government decided to tax you less, or because they said, we don't need this amount of money because you have benefits and, you know, you get, you know, the reasons you get a tax refund. But it is your money. Your money. It's not the government giving you money. It's your money to start with. So on the tax plan, what is the moral and principled argument that we need to make? Do tax cuts work? Yes. You see this in America. You've seen this around the world. You want to just give one example of why a tax policy that's low works? Ireland. Why is Ireland seen as this great place to do business? It's not because of the infrastructure. It's not because of the government. Many reasons is because we have a 12.5% corporation tax rate. We're seen as this wonderful hub for business. When you give companies an incentive to work, an incentive to grow, they will do that. The moral and principled argument for the tax cut, it's not just for corporations, it should be for everyone. Because the spoiler alert is, it's your money. You worked hard to get it. No company or individual gets money for doing nothing. You offer a service or a product that people went, I want that. And they were prepared to take their money and kind of go, oh, how much is that service? Oh, that's $1,000. Okay, no problem. I'm going to pay you that $1,000. They needed it. They wanted it. They desired it. They got it. So that company makes a profit. The argument is to say, we want everyone to have this right, to enjoy the fruits of your labor, to control your own destiny, and to be able to keep what you earn. And that is a principle that is for the poorest in society, the richest in society, corporations, and everyone in between. Regardless of how many people you have in a corporation, whether you're like a little one-man band who just goes out and paints and decorates by yourself, whether you're a mom-and-pop store where you have like some family members and you might have a full-timer or two, or whether it is the giant corporation like Amazon who hires thousands upon thousands upon thousands of staff around the world. The principle is the same for everyone. It's not a principle for you and a principle for me. It's the same everywhere. You have a right to keep the fruits of your labor. But what's frustrating to me is we need to counter the narrative, this, and I hate using this term because it's meant as a slam from the left, to defend trickle-down economics. Should we defend trickle-down economics? Absolutely. This idea, and if you watch some of the commentators, there's many videos out there, the Blaze did one. Or not the Blaze, the Washington Free Beacon, sorry. Where they have all these people, political commentators, you know, these people who are in smart suits, and they're just so smart. They're just so much smarter than me and you, going, oh my God, what type of imbecilic moron are you if you think you're going to give a company a tax cut and it's going to pass on benefits to employees? What type of this is not the way businesses work. You're an idiot if you think so. Well, study after study shows that's wrong thinking. Study after study shows companies want to, whether it's for the moral and principled reason or if you want to just talk economics, to keep their employees happy. If you want to talk the moral and principled, a happy employee does better work, does better service, gives you a better return on your investment because you invest in their wages. It makes the company grow. It helps better. Also, a happy employee generally, obviously, you know, advancement and promotion aside, a happy employee generally doesn't leave. And there is study after study. If you want to Google them, do them. The cost of replacing someone is a lot more than keeping someone happy. So if giving $1,000 bonus to someone, that's nothing to these companies. That's nothing. That's a drop in the well for a lot of these companies who are giving it. It makes them happy. It makes them feel appreciated. The economic benefit is there. It's simple. But trickle-down economics. Let's just focus in on the big news of this week if you want to talk in economics. Apple. And let's use the language of the left, because this is what I always try and do. Let's use their language against them to show and make an economic point. If you listen to the left and you listen to the media, you've heard this line. All those millionaires and billionaires, they just want to get more money. They're just greedy SOBs. They want more money. Yes, that is true. And why does that benefit everyone? Let's use Apple. If you give Apple a giant tax cut, which you gave everyone with this new corporation tax, it has now has a chunk of money. Whether it knew it or not, it earmarked that chunk of money for to corporation tax to pay it. It earmarked it. It said, that's now tax. Effectively, by giving them a tax cut, they're now going, you know that chunk of money we'd earmarked to pay to the US government for our tax bill? We now have that in our company. What are we going to do? Let's use the language of the left. They're millionaires and billionaires. Tim Cook has now a chunk of money. What's he going to do with it? He's going to try and make more money. Why? Why, because he's a millionaire and a billionaire and he's a greedy SOB. Uh-huh. They're not. No company is going to sit there and just have a chunk of money and just let it lie. They want to invest it. They'll invest it in their staff. They'll invest it in technology. Or they'll try and find, which I believe Tim Cook is going to try and do, the next great product. The iPad, the iWatch, the iPod, whatever it is. Their next great innovation to secure the company. But let's not look at this as a bad thing. Because everyone wants is greedy in some way, shape or form. Let me give you an example. Imagine I'm your stockbroker. And I look after your 401k. And I come to you and go, hey, guess what? I have this wonderful company to invest in. And you're like, okay, tell me more. And I give you the details. I give you the name and what they do. And then we get to the financial. I go, the stock price right now is $10. But, you know, the owner, the CEO, the top dog, he's not greedy. He's not selfish at all. He's okay with the status quo. What he wants to do is he has this great plan, this wonderful, brilliant plan that in 10 years... their stock is going to be worth $10. Are you going, John, sign me up for that. I want that company. I want to be part of that company. I want to invest in that company. No. You're going to go, wow. Or imagine I came to you with a company, went Apple, right? Apple has just announced it's going to invest $360 million. Billion, sorry, not million. Billion dollars in America. It's going to find this new, great new product. I think they already have something. I think this stock could go up double in price in the next 5 years. And I show you the trajectory of Apple and I show you what it's done over the last couple of years. You're going to say invest in it, aren't you? Why? Because we're all greedy. Economic greed can be a good thing. Let's just look at Apple. Apple announcing this big investment. And the reason I'm using Apple, it's not because I'm an Apple guy, even though I like their iPad, I'd be lost without it. It's because they're in the news this week. What happens when Apple take a chunk of money, like their $360 billion over the next 5 years, and invest it? What is the economic benefit of it? Well, let's go through it, shall we? First of all, the economic benefit is potentially more jobs, directly or indirectly. Either Apple will hire a load of people for R&D, or they will have to hire people to grow new shops, because they're saying they're going to expand their shops. So people will have to put those businesses together. You know, people, you know, construction people, if it's a new building, or, you know, store outfitters, all the lights and the electricity, all that will have to be created and put into the shops. All those jobs, all the insurance, all the sales staff, all the management staff, all the products that they're going to have to make. But we also forget the economic benefit to each and every one of us. The great thing about free market economics is we get to decide where we spend our dollars. And the economic benefit, I'd be lost in many ways without my iPad. The fact I have a little computer that turns on in a second, that I can get email, internet, music, camera, apps, games, Word, Excel, or it's not Word or Excel, I can't remember the name, Sheets is one of them. But it's like Microsoft Word, it's just Apple's version of it. I can work on it. It's incredible. I can message people. I can phone people. I can Skype. It's wonderful. I'd be lost without it. Watch the Blaze on it. It's wonderful. Access to all the apps. I can listen to, like, SoundCloud. You can listen to me if you want to. That benefit is to each and every one of us. iPads have made my life easier. I'm sure I'm not the only person who's thought about this. That is the economic benefit. In free market economics, people only get rich because there's someone, they had a product or a service people wanted or needed, or that made their lives better. That is the great thing. We need to make the moral argument that all this tax cut did, it wasn't take money from the government. It wasn't the government giving you money back. It was the government saying, you know what? We want you to keep more of the fruits of your labor. You know what else it's doing? It's saying the moral principle of saying, we want you to control more of your destiny. We want you to be more independent. You decide what's best for you. Yes, you might succeed. Yes, you might fail. But you are in control of your life, whether you're an individual, whether you're a small business, whether you're a big business, regardless. That is all that it did. And for me, yes, talk about the economic benefits. Talk about the principles as well. Because we need to make the case for the principles of free market economics. Because if we don't make the principles argument and the moral argument, one day a politician will come to power and go, you know what we need to do? We need to follow the Chinese model and get 7% growth. And that will bring jobs back to America. It won't. Because America needs freedom. It's not just about the economic output. It's about the principles as well. Let's talk about both. And that is what we're going to do on this show. Thank you, and hope you enjoyed this short clip from last week's show. If you want more content based around America being an exceptional idea, eternal principles, and searching for self-evident truths, then please subscribe to my show called Freedom's Disciple, which is available for free on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher.